Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to worship at Covenant Presbyterian Church on this Easter Sunday. I am so very glad that you are with us this morning. We have a number of different ways to participate in this morning's worship service. First, You may recall that most years we dedicate our Easter flowers in memory and honor of loved ones. We don't have physical flowers this year, and we didn't collect those names ahead of time this year. But I want to invite you to share in whose memory or whose honor you would dedicate Easter flowers this year. Just type those names into the comments so that we can share those memories and those honors together. You will be invited to share prayer requests with us as we come to our prayer time today. The easiest way to do that is to type your prayer requests into the comments as well on this live video. Later in the worship service, we will dedicate our One Great Hour of Sharing offering. The One Great Hour of Sharing funds programs such as Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, the Presbyterian Hunger Program, and Self-Development of People. We dedicate that offering every year on Easter Sunday, and this year is no different. I will also ask you to type into those same comments what Easter means to you this year. What does Easter mean to you this year? I'll remind you again that that's what I'm asking for. And we will share some of those as part of our offering time this morning as well. If you've been worshiping with us during the season of Lent, you will notice some changes as we move into the Easter season. There are some new repeated worship texts that will be with us throughout the service. We are bringing back the Gloria Patri following the assurance of pardon, so you'll have an additional opportunity to sing with us. And we are again going to be using the more modern ecumenical translation of the Lord's Prayer after we used the older traditional version throughout the season of Lent. You are worshiping at home, and you are welcome to use whatever version of that prayer is closest to your heart. But we will bring up on the screen for you the more modern ecumenical translation of the Lord's Prayer when we come to that part of worship. That's for those of you who have been worshiping regularly with us through the season of Lent. But I want to give a special welcome to those of you who are joining us because today is Easter Sunday. This is a special Sunday for so many of us, and I hope it is a special Sunday for you as well. And I hope that you know how very, very welcome you are with us this morning. Thank you for being here. We will gather with the Trinity as we arrive for worship this morning. I'll invite us to take a deep breath to welcome the presence of God, and then we will have the introit and the call to worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Christ is risen. As you are comfortable and able, I invite you to sing with us, Jesus Christ is risen today. On account of God's great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without fear, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, when you raised Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We turn away from the cries of the oppressed and dismiss calls for peace. We look down on those who are weak, and we abuse the earth you created. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new. Teach us the joy of abundant life you give us through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Jesus carried our sins in his own body on the cross. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, healed and set free from sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Forgiven and freed, we are beloved siblings, children of God. The peace of Christ be with you all. This is the part of the service where I always invite the kids to pay extra attention. If we were in the sanctuary, I'd invite you to come all the way down to the front. But pay attention wherever you are, because we are about to read the Bible story, and you are the people I most want to hear that story. But the story we tell this morning, it didn't start this morning. On Friday, this is what happened. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. That story not only sets the stage for what is happening this morning, but it also introduces you to these three women. This is the show and tell part. These three women are Mary and Mary and Salome. This is a painting of these women by William Blake. He painted this around 1803. I assume that that's Mary Magdalene in the middle. And I like to think that Salome is there on the left. These three women were there, Mark just told us, at Jesus' death. They saw where Jesus was buried. There are a lot of paintings that tell the Easter story. And I like this one especially because you can see the fear on the women's faces. That's so realistic to me. Something I notice that you may already have seen, when we zoom out, the women are not at the cross, they're at the tomb. And they're frightened because the wrong person is there at the tomb. This person is there who might be an angel, and he's telling them that Jesus' body is not there. Jesus' body is not in the tomb this morning. And that inspires fear for the women. That fear maybe replaces the other fears that they were already feeling, but there is fear here. It's helping me this year to think about the Easter story as a story that can be scary. That reminds me that it's okay to be scared and confused even on Easter Sunday morning. I think a lot of us feel scared and confused this Easter. There are things that we expected that aren't happening in the same way that they normally do. There are Easter traditions that aren't happening, things like egg hunts and maybe special dinners with extended family. There are normal things that aren't happening, like school and play dates with your friends. It's okay to be scared this Easter. This year, we're reading the Gospel of Mark, tell us this Easter story, and the story is going to include feeling scared. The women don't know how this story is good news until later on in the story, in a part of the story that Mark himself didn't even write. Sometimes good news feels like that. Sometimes good news feels like a story that we don't know how to tell until later. I invite you to pray with me, and then we will read the Easter story. God of life, send us your Holy Spirit. Make our hearts holy places for Christ to dwell. Teach us to speak words of hope and show us how to live in Christ's resurrection. Amen. Now it's time for the Easter story from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. ¶¶ the scripture reading ends, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And we would ordinarily say, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Mark doesn't tell us any more about Salome. But I wonder, what if he did? What if there was more to Salome's story? My colleague Sarah Taylor imagines Salome growing old, becoming a venerable matriarch of the church, you know the kind, a charter member who is active for 60, 70 years. Salome sang in the choir. She started out as an alto and then kind of worked her way down to tenor, as sometimes happens. Salome loved to host coffee hour. She taught Bible study. She especially loved the minor prophets. She always said grace at the potlucks. We started to suspect that maybe Salome was just doing all of this so that she could keep talking any chance she got. God loves the extroverts too. But Salome wasn't just talking about anything. Salome always worked this story, today's story, into any conversation, usually within 20 minutes. It got a little sooner as she got older, as people sometimes do. Eventually, the tape started to loop, and she'd do it more than once, as people often do. But nobody ever got tired of it. At least nobody admitted to getting tired of it. Because everybody loved Salome. And because she was telling the story, this story, the story we all need to hear as many times as we can. Everywhere Salome went, "Oh, that reminds me of when we went to Jesus' tomb. We were so very frightened. Nothing was where it was supposed to be. The stone was rolled out of the way. Not even Jesus' body was there. And then a young man in a white robe, he shocked us. He sent us on to Galilee, sent us back to Galilee. Really, that's where most of us were from. He sent us there to tell everyone that Jesus was raised. And we were so scared, we ran away like there was a bear chasing us. We couldn't say anything to anyone." And if you kept listening, Salome would go on. She would say, "Eventually, we saw Jesus with us, just like that man said. Eventually, we saw Jesus with us, just like Jesus himself had said. We learned that he was with us in new ways. Some of us saw him with actual flesh and bones and fishing skills like no carpenter ever should have had. Some of us had visions of him, and everyone felt the presence of the Holy Spirit building bridges between people who were not otherwise connected. Everyone felt the Holy Spirit leading us into lives of mercy and service. Many of us started practicing radical hospitality, even at the cost of their own lives, of this life, anyway." I wonder what stories Salome would tell today. I remember how churches were empty on Easter Sunday morning. I remember how the brass quintet stayed home and we sang the Alleluias just a few voices at a time, or solo. There were no lilies that had been forced to bloom in pots at the front of the church. There were only daffodils and the occasional tulip doing their thing in the front yard. The empty churches reminded us of deeper tragedies, of dining room chairs that would sit empty for much, much longer. We remember how the threat of death hung like a cloud over us. We were so frightened. It wasn't safe to gather with our neighbors for dinner or to get coffee with our friends. And the preachers trembled to tell the good news. And then we saw something that we couldn't believe. We saw neighbors choosing to sacrifice in order to help each other. We saw professionals working tirelessly to tend the sick, to bless the dying, to provide food and companionship to those who needed it most. We saw communities who learned how to support the most vulnerable members of the community, whether they're vulnerable in terms of health or economic opportunity. And we began to take direction from those who were most vulnerable among us because we learned that our health is all interconnected. Even the skies and the streams started clearing. And Salome, she took her quilting group online and they made masks by FaceTime together. And then we saw the promise of the future resurrection turn into a present reality among us here. Not just out there, but here and now among us. We see the resurrection when the saints like Salome and Mary and Mary and Peter and Oscar Romero and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and all the rest, when they live faithfully without fear in this life because they are bearing witness to a new life that is breaking in among us even now. We see the resurrection when modern saints give up time and money and security to feed and serve each other. I trust in Easter's good news, that the resurrection means hope beyond hopelessness, means life beyond death. And I trust it more and more because I can find evidence of that future hope right here in the present. I can see evidence of that future hope even when I'm too scared to put it into words. Do you remember how Salome was once so scared that she couldn't even constantly tell the story of Jesus' resurrection? Salome always ended the story like that, and we said nothing to anyone because we were so afraid. And people started to remember just how old they were when they figured out that Salome always had a twinkle in her eye when she said that line. People could remember when they figured out that Salome was in on the joke. We said nothing to anyone until we learned how to put words on the best good news there is. I don't know how long it's going to be before we can tell the story of this Easter with a twinkle in our eye. I don't know exactly what that good news is going to look like yet, and that's okay. I trust that we will tell this story with joy too, because I trust that the resurrection is already upon us. I trust that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. Our second hymn this morning may be a new one to you. It is Christ Has Risen While Earth Slumbers. as we come now to prayer, this is also your last call for telling us what Easter means to you this year. So you are welcome to type those in the comments, and we will share those at our offering time. And we gather in prayer with these joys and these concerns. We lift up prayers for Marcia Isaac, whose husband Muggs Isaac died last Saturday of the coronavirus. Marcia is recovering at home from the virus. Marcia is a friend of Anne McGowan. We pray for the family and friends of Samuel Capoto, who passed away Friday in Ghana after a battle with pneumonia. Samuel is the husband of Florence Japhet Capoto, who worships with Covenant. Our prayers are with all of Samuel's family and friends. And we lift prayers for Bob DeVries, who is recovering from major surgery. That prayer request submitted by Adam Drake. We gather those joys and those concerns and all the prayers that are in our hearts, and we lift them before God in prayer. We come near to you, O Lord, because you are good. Your faithful love is forever. We pray to you, Lord, our Savior, God of our salvation, answer us with grace. We give you thanks and praise, O God, because you have become our salvation. By your grace, we have everlasting life. And so we lift up these prayers. Prayers for Marcia Isaac and for all who are mourning the death of Muggs. God of our salvation, answer us with grace. For the family and friends of Samuel, especially Florence, and all who are mourning Samuel's death. God of our salvation, answer us with grace. For Bob, as he recovers from surgery, God of our salvation, answer us with grace. For healthcare workers, for officials who are making difficult decisions, for all whose lives are affected directly and indirectly by the coronavirus, God of our salvation, answer us with grace. And for these prayers, we hold before you in silence. God of our salvation, answer us with grace. God of glory, death could not conquer your love, and the tomb could not imprison your Son. Just as Jesus shared our frailty in human flesh, help us to share his immortality in the Spirit. Let us never fear the shadow of the grave, and let us never turn away from your eternal life. We pray with Jesus Christ, who died yet lives again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Children of God, we are chosen by God to become a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. We are sent to tell the good news, and we are sent to tell what Easter means to us. Easter means hope. Easter means new possibility. I won't share them out loud after this point, but you are welcome to tell us in the comments what Easter means to you this year. Today, friends, we also dedicate the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. Where God is, there is hope. And the One Great Hour of Sharing offering is one of the ways that together we become the household of God. Through One Great Hour of Sharing, we extend shelter to those who have no place to stay. We offer compassion to those who have pain, physical, emotional, or spiritual. And we set a feast with God for those who lack access to enough food to eat. May we be called, as Isaiah said, to be repairers of the breach, to be the church in the world, and active followers of our faith. Through One Great Hour of Sharing, we are building a household with the suffering and the vulnerable, God's household filled with love, where everyone is welcome, God's household filled with hope, God's household filled with possibility. Beloved, we welcome your generous gifts, because when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot. We dedicate our One Great Hour of Sharing offering, and we welcome your gifts not only for Covenant, but for all our mission partners. You can give online at wdmcovenant.org/donate, or you can mail your check to the church. We welcome your gifts now. And we pray together. Eternal God, we praise you that Christ has conquered death and raised us up into new life. By your Spirit, bless the gifts we offer to you. Bless the testimonies that we offer to your risen life in the world today. Let our lives be signs of Christ's life, and let everything we do reflect his love. With thanksgiving and glory to you forever. Amen. We lift up one more late arriving prayer request. We lift up prayers for the family of Otto Johnson, who passed away last week. Otto is the brother of Leota Jokums. We pray for Otto's family and friends. And we bear witness to the resurrection. We bear witness to the resurrection now by singing together our final hymn, Christ is risen, shout Hosanna. Thank you. Christ is risen. Everything is complete. So join in prayer, love each other sincerely, serve each other as good stewards of God's gifts. In everything, let God be honored through Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, one God, to whom be honor and glory and power forever and always. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.